Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everybody. Bismillah, walhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum. I hope that everybody, inshallah, is doing well. And welcome to our Juz 17 session for the message of the Quran, where we'll be going over, inshallah, a few of the different ayat from this juz, and covering some of the lessons and themes from this juz. This session and all of these sessions are brought to you by Helping Hand for Relief and Development, HHRD, mashallah, one of our partners here at Qalam. We have been a partner with HHRD now for many years. They are known for serving people around the world who are in need, and they've been doing so since 2005. With a focus on international relief and development. Since their inception, they have assisted millions in need with emergency aid and had lifted thousands and thousands of people out of poverty with their long-term assistance programs. This Ramadan, Helping Hand for Relief and Development is focusing on continuing its fight to eradicate hunger across the world with the hashtag Share Your Plate campaign. To learn more about this campaign and ways that you can help, please visit hhrd.org/Qalam. Inshallah, tonight's session will be covering Juz number 17, which includes Surah Al-Anbiya, which is the 21st chapter of the Quran, and the first part of Surah Al-Hajj up till verse number 78. This Juz covers many different distinct issues regarding Iman, the belief of a person, and really many of the points of belief of people, like believing in the Day of Judgment, believing in the resurrection, believing in the prophets, respecting the prophets, trusting the prophets, etc. And really discussing those issues to the point of trying to construct strong faith and strong belief in the hearts of the reader. We'll begin, inshallah, actually with the first verse of Surah Al-Anbiya. So chapter number 21, verse number 1. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the chapter with a very strong initial reminder. He says, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ, that the time for people's hisab has come near. The people do not realize this, but their hisab has drawn near to them. Now, normally, when somebody knows that there is some sort of assessment or some sort of examination or something, you know, some sort of test, they turn all of their attention toward the exam or towards the assessment. Whatever's happening, they're going to turn themselves towards it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, He tells us about the nature of ourselves as human beings, and He tells us about how we can fix this problem. So He says, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ, that the time for people's hisab is drawing near, has drawn near to them, meaning that what? The day of judgment is coming. The death of each individual is within reach, within grasp. Now, this is a figurative way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that your life and your existence on this earth is not guaranteed. You know, you wake up one day, you go to work, you have dinner, you come back home, you play with your kids, you have dinner with your family, you go to sleep, you wake up the next day. There's no guarantee that a person is going to make it the next day, that the person is not going to get into some sort of accident. May Allah protect us all. There's no guarantee. So this verse, the first part of it, reminds everybody to think to themselves, man, my personal hisab, my personal day of judgment is ever close to me. At any given moment when I'm in my house or out of my house, I'm not guaranteed. So then Allah says, وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ, that even though these people are constantly, you know, having these brushes with death and constantly are, you know, driving in vehicles and going to work and coming back, and every day they're assuming some sort of risk, they are always constantly heedlessly turning away from that reality. Nothing that they think about reminds them about the importance of the end of their life. And we see this every day in our own character, in our own personality, is that we're thinking about, you know, what we're going to do for Eid. You know, just yesterday, my wife and I were talking about buying Eid clothes for the kids. That's great. We should be preparing for Eid, right? Buying them clothes and things like that. We're talking about what little small renovations around the house we'd like to do, you know, maybe painting this room or changing these doorknobs or things like that, right? We all have plans, you know, where we're going to put our kids for school, what we're going to do for, everyone has their plans, where we're going to go on vacation. And that's okay. That's part of your human reality. But how much future planning do you have for your akhirah as well? Is there any relationship? Is there any correlation? What is the amount of future planning that you place towards your afterlife versus this dunya? And if the number is like 99.9 to 0.01, then we have a problem, right? If the number is 99 to 1, every single thought that I have is about planning for the dunya and I have nothing planned for the akhirah, then there is definitely a major problem. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that your end is constantly coming towards you and your preparation for it is to neglect it and to turn away from it, to avoid it. Now, what do we say about somebody who avoids something inevitable? We say that they're not very smart, they're not very intelligent. But what do we say about somebody who constantly and perpetually prepares for something that they know is going to happen? We say that that person was well prepared. They had a good strategy. They were smart, right? And so this is the reality of this first verse in Surah Al-Anbiya. Allah Ta'ala begins the chapter very quickly. Very quickly, He gives us the strong motivation to reassess what we've been doing with our lives. The next ayah that I want to go over tonight is the fourth ayah from Surah Al-Anbiya. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, He reminds us of an important reality when it comes to our relationship with Him. And this is why it's really, really important to know the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why it's important to study them and to learn them. Because the relationship that you have with Allah, you know, in terms of just your day-to-day or your making dua or your prayer, it's going to be deeply impacted the more you know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in ayah number 3 and 4, you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala painting for us a picture. In ayah number 3, Allah ta'ala mentions الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, that these people who are wrongdoers, they would converse with each other and they would say that this messenger, this prophet, isn't he just like anyone else? What makes him so different? هَلْ هَذَا إِلَّا بَشَرٌ, isn't this guy, isn't he just a human being? Isn't he just a guy? What makes him so special? مِثْلُكُمْ, just like you, right? They're trying to downplay the status of the Prophet ﷺ. And they said these things, and they actually even went further, and they said, what? أَفَتَأْتُونَ السِّحْرَ? Are you going to fall for his, are you going to take his magic? وَأَنْتُمْ تَبْصِرُونَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُبْصِرُونَ While you can clearly see it. You're going to fall for his sorcery, even though you can see it. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next verse, he addresses this claim of people trying to disprove the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say such horrible things. And he tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he tells us what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, قَالَ رَبِّي يَعْلَمُ الْقَوْلَ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ My Lord knows every single word that has been uttered, whether it is in the heavens or the earth. And when the term heavens or the earth, or مَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ the east and the west, or Layla wa Nahar, night and the day, whenever these poles are mentioned, the tafsir of this of these verses always mention that this doesn't just include the poles, it includes everything in between. It's like saying from start to finish, right? The first and the last. The person is not just saying first and last, they're saying everything. So when Allah Ta'ala says, فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ In the heavens and the earth. It doesn't just mean there's like a place in the heaven and a place on earth. No, everything in between. رَبِّي يَعْلَمُ الْقَوْلَ Allah Ta'ala, He knows every single word that has been uttered. فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ And Allah is the one. السَّمِيعُ Who is السَّمِيعُ السَّمِيعُ is the one who knows every single thing. Can hear every single thing and is aware through being able to hear every utterance, every word, every whisper that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows it. That when a person says something, they can whisper it, they can be behind closed doors, they can, you know, you name it, put them in the most private of situations, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. And the reason why this description is used of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that in the previous verse, the conversation that these people are having is mentioned as being concealed and secret conversations. Like they would try to basically have these private conversations about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would try to privately dissociate one another and disband one another from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here responds by telling what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, which is what? My Lord knows every single word. He has heard every single word that you have spoken. Al-Alim. And He's also the one who is knowledgeable of every single thing. Now, why is this critical for us to understand? Number one, our behavior is shifted by our understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can hear everything that we say, then we watch our mouth. We watch our tongues. When we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that we do, then we watch what we do. And when we are aware that these traits are ever going, are universal, are always going to be there, are permanent, then we are incredibly careful. We are incredibly careful to make sure that we act appropriately. And the Quran is filled with these reminders because this idea is what builds a person's taqwa. Taqwa, God consciousness, if you look at all of the different definitions that people have given from the, you know, from the Quranic definition to the, you know, the commentary, you know, obviously explanation by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, etc. All of it boils down to one thing, which is knowing that Allah is there, knowing that Allah is watching you, is hearing you, even when nobody else is around, and acting accordingly to that. So in order for a person to build taqwa, they have to know that Allah is there. And if they don't know Allah is there, they're not going to be able to magically make the right decision when no one's watching, right? The fruit of taqwa is that you make the right decision when no one's watching. That's the fruit. And there's a sweetness in that moment that can never be tasted otherwise. To make the right choice when no one's telling you to do it. You're at work all by yourself and you get up to pray and no one around you is telling you to pray. That's taqwa. You're home by yourself, you live alone, and you get up to pray fajr by yourself. No one is telling you. That's taqwa. That's the fruit of taqwa. But a person cannot get there unless they understand certain things about Allah. And some of those things are that He is al-basir. He's the one that sees everything. He is as-samir. He's the one who hears. Al-alim, the one who knows. Al-khabir, the one who is aware of everything, that even in private. Al-latif, the one who is intricately aware. All of these traits have to be known. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, whenever you hear a reference to the name of Allah in the ayah that you're reading, always listen to that name and think about how it ties to you building the trait of taqwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to allow us to build within ourselves. Okay? The next verse we're going to go over about is verse number 5, the next one. And this verse is a really, really important reminder to us and something very, very, a stark reality to our spiritual development. Allah Ta'ala says, بَلْ قَالُوا, that these people, rather, they say that the Qur'an, when they speak about the revelation of the Qur'an and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's message, أَضْغَاثُ أَحْلَامٍ, that they say that it is like the revelation of the Qur'an, when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes and reveals and recites what has been revealed to him, that it is just like أَضْغَاثُ أَحْلَامٍ, it's like a set of like mixed up dreams, okay? It's a set of mixed up dreams. بَلْ أَفَتَرَاهُ, no, he's made it up. بَلْ هُوَ شَاعِرٌ, no, he's a poet. So these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that they are scraping and they are grabbing at any last instance to where they can say that the revelation of the Qur'an is not the revelation of the Qur'an. They're willing to come up with any excuse that they can. And instead of listening to the Qur'an, listening to the substance of the Qur'an, and letting that content wash over their heart and allow them to be able to hear the message of the Qur'an, right? Instead of listening, as soon as they hear it, what did they used to do? They used to put their fingers in their ears. Sometimes they used to stick cotton in their ears so that the Prophet ﷺ wouldn't recite to them. But you see what happens to the hearts of people that let themselves listen to the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The famous story of Umar, you know, one of his first stories before his conversion to Islam through his recitation of Surah Taha, was that he used to go and he used to spend time spying on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he used to listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reciting. And one night he went and he listened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recite, and he hid his body between the Kaaba and the Qiswa, like basically in between the two. And he was listening to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And every time he had a thought about what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying, that he's a madman, that he's this, he's that, he's a poet, the Quran, the next word and the next ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite, the revelation from Allah, would be negating the exact thought that he had. So when Umar said, this is the word of a soothsayer, then the Quran would say, this is not the word of a soothsayer, right? And then it said, this is the word of a poet. This is not the word of a poet. The Quran will respond. And then he would say, who is this? And it said, this is the word of a noble messenger, right? This is the recitation of a noble messenger, subhanAllah. So these people would basically block themselves, and they would come up with as many responses as they could to try to stuff the message back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they didn't want to let it hear, okay? So then Allah Ta'ala, He challenges them, and He says, فَلْيَأْتِنَا بِآيَةٍ كَمَا أُرْسِلُ الْأَوَّلُونَ, that He said, so let Him bring some sort of, their challenge to the Prophets was, let Him bring to us a sign, some sort of sign, just like the prophets before had brought to us. Okay? So then Allah Ta'ala then responds to that challenge. And he says what? That not a single society, not a single ummah, did we ever destroy them before they believed after receiving signs. So Allah is responding to them saying, look, you guys constantly have signs coming to you via the Quran. And just because you don't have knowledge of this, you reject it because you refuse to ask more information, more details. You refuse to ask. You're just blocking everything. You're not going to understand it. So how do we understand this? Is that number one, when it comes to knowledge of Islam, Quran, Sunnah of the Prophet the teachings of the tradition, don't just shove everything away that doesn't make sense to you, right? If you hear something and it's not making sense to you, then perhaps it's not the message that's the problem. Perhaps it's the heart that's receiving the message, because you have the same Quran that the Prophet was reciting to people and their hearts were overwhelmed by it to the point where they believed it. And then you had the Quran being recited to some people and they would push it away, push it away. So what's the difference? It's not the Quran, it's the person, right? So when we engage with the Quran, we have to make sure that we don't reject our faith, our knowledge of our faith, and we don't just look over it, but rather we learn more about it. We explore, we understand, so that we allow it to be able to have that impact upon us that it did. Okay, the next verse that we'll do is ayah number 16. Surat al-Anbiya, ayah number 16, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ. Allah ta'ala says that we did not create this sky and the earth and everything in between, which we just talked about before, meant everything, لَاعِبِينَ, for some sort of sport, for some sort of recreation. Right? It wasn't done casually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the earth is not something that was made without purpose. But there was a deep purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had. Okay? And Allah ta'ala said that if, you know, we didn't need to create this. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we didn't need to create this earth for our amusement. Like, that's not, that wasn't necessary. You know, when a powerful person or when a wealthy person wants amusement, they buy something or they build something or they, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like human beings. He doesn't need that for any sort of fulfillment. He created it so that we can be tested to fulfill our purpose, right? لِنَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. So whenever we live in this life, it's important to understand that we are here for a reason, that and that reason transcends just trying to acquire more and get more things. That reason, it transcends just trying to save more and buy more and eat more. And Ramadan teaches us this. Ramadan takes away so many of the different things that we do to show us that your purpose is not just to live and enjoy your life. Of course, live and enjoy, but the purpose is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. That's the real purpose. And true enjoyment and true fulfillment at the end of the day comes through that understanding and that realization. Okay? We're going to skip ahead to the toward the end of the surah, because we don't have a lot of time left. And I know last time I basically missed the entire section that I wanted to cover. So we'll do this inshallah. If you go to number ayah number 74 through ayah number 92, and this is a beautiful section that deals with many of the prophets. So the name Surat al-Anbiya comes from the fact that this surah details the story of many of the prophets. Ayah number 74 is about Prophet Lut, alayhi salam. 76 is about Prophet Nuh, alayhi salam. Then you have Dawood, Sulaiman, right? Then you have Ayyub, and then you have Ismail, and you have Idris, Dhul-Kifl. So many different messenger, Yunus, right? Dhannun, Yunus you have here, Zachariah. So all of these prophets are mentioned. And this section, number 74 to 92, talks about specifically all of the different tests that these Anbiya had gone through, all the different tests and challenges. So Allah Ta'ala mentions the challenge of Lut, that he lived in a place that was engaged in sinful practices, right? Al-Khaba'ith, Allah Ta'ala, he described them as disgusting, sinful practices. And those people, they were, innahum kanu qawma su'in fasiqeen, that they were the most evil and rebellious people. And they used to go back against the Prophet Lut. They used to push back against him. They used to rebel against him. And because he was patient and dealt with it, Allah Ta'ala says, وَدْخَلْنَاهُ فِي رَحْمَتِنَا, that we entered him into our mercy, إِنَّهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, because he was one of the righteous. So we have this section of ayat in which Nuh alayhi salam is next. And then you have, you know, Dawood and Sulaiman. All of them went through difficulties, and Allah Ta'ala details their difficulties. But because they remained steadfast, they attained and tasted the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The lesson here for us is very simple and very straightforward, which is your life and my life is going to be filled with tests. There's no way around it. There's no rejecting it. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Ankabut that, you know, حَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يَتْرُكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا أَمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think they're going to be able to say that they can believe and not be tested? So tests are a part of life. But the reality is that when we understand that tests are coming, it doesn't make them disappear, but it makes them slightly easier for us to manage. And then when we are patient and we rely upon Allah to hang through that test and to survive it, as difficult as it might be, at the end of that test, when the test comes to a conclusion, we're able to taste the sweetness of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? We'll go ahead and conclude there, inshallah, because it's almost 5 p.m. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the knowledge of the Quran and the understanding of the book. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to connect our hearts to the Quran this month and the rest of the year. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all the good that we've been trying to do this month and to give us a strong middle and finish to the end of this beautiful, beautiful month of Ramadan. Barakallahu feekum, everybody. And again, just want to remind everybody, if you can visit hhrd.org/qalam, then inshallah you'll be able to take part in the wonderful initiatives that Helping Hand for Relief and Development is doing. Barakallahu feekum, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow for juz number 18. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.